A beaten man crashes through plate glass doors, blood pooling on marble floors, while terrified onlookers freeze in silence. This isn't a random act of violence. It's business as usual at Big Dog Entertainment, where contracts are enforced with fists and loyalty is measured in bruises. Welcome to Kwan's Harlem, a place where the music industry and street crime aren't just connected, they're indistinguishable. Don B runs his empire from a penthouse office, signing artists with one hand while allegedly ordering hits with the other. His rise reads like a cautionary tale. Start as an underground producer, eliminate anyone who challenges you, and wrap it all in expensive suits and industry legitimacy. Former partners who threaten to start rival companies end up in unsolved murder cases. Chart-topping groups disappear after contract disputes. Witnesses develop convenient amnesia. This isn't entertainment, it's organized crime with a platinum record deal. What makes Don B terrifying isn't just his violence, but his impunity. He's cultivated relationships with corrupt officials and compromised journalists, building a network that protects him from consequences. His bodyguard, Devil, handles physical enforcement, while his manager, Tone, smooths over the messy details. Together, they've created a hierarchy where artists are disposable commodities and disputes are settled with brutality. The mysterious Animal, Don's most infamous artist, who escaped custody after multiple murder charges, haunts the narrative like a ghost, his absence creating both opportunity and instability in an already volatile ecosystem. King James rules from the projects with raw ambition and calculated savagery. Nearly 6 feet tall, with Peace God tattooed across his chest, he represents a new generation refusing to wait their turn. When dealer Johnny O threatens retaliation from his boss Bourne, King casually reveals Bourne's bloody chain. He's already eliminated the competition. Then he executes Johnny O and kills his own informant, explaining that anyone who recognizes a snake yet invites it in is a fool. King's intelligence makes him dangerous. He understands the old territorial agreements that kept peace in Harlem, but sees those boundaries as obstacles. When he learns that Shy Clark, son of the legendary Papa Clark, is claiming territory in Harlem, King sees opportunity where others see established power. His volatile nature surfaces with girlfriend Sahara, where a moment of disrespect triggers savage violence, showing how quickly charm turns brutal. He surrounds himself with loyal soldiers like Lakeem and Dump, building a crew bound by friendship and fear. This combination of street smarts and unrestrained aggression puts him on collision course with Shy Clark's organization and Don B's empire. King James doesn't want a seat at the table. He wants to flip it and build his own. Portia, Sahara, and Frankie discover they're 3 months behind on rent after their sublease holder, Debbie, pocketed their cash payments. Without receipts, they face eviction from their sanctuary apartment. Each woman brings different survival strategies. Portia, 5'7", with brown skin and fierce confidence, uses her looks and dancing skills to make money, projecting strength despite past trauma, pregnancy by a man now in prison, miscarriage, depression. Sahara clings to King James despite his controlling behavior, hoping his street success provides security. Frankie, a professional shoplifter who learned from her estranged father, can steal hundreds in merchandise in 90 seconds. The eviction forces impossible decisions. Portia sets her sights on Don B, not knowing he's a predator in expensive clothing. Sahara tightens her grip on King James, willing to overlook his violence to avoid homelessness. Frankie makes the most fateful choice, approaching the notorious Cuddy for drugs to sell. Despite her inexperience, Cuddy gives her 11 grams of uncut cocaine on the strength of a dead friend, warning that family connections won't save her if she burns him. The streets offer faster money, but exponentially greater risk than the closed pathways of education, legitimate work, or family support. While Harlem burns, Animal lives in Puerto Rico as an enforcer for Los Negros Muertos, carrying out high-stakes contract eliminations for substantial bounties. His legend haunts the streets back home. People measure their ambitions against his reputation, wondering if he's truly dead. His contradictions surface during one mission. After efficiently completing his assignment against a target named Cruz, Animal intervenes when another enforcer threatens a teenage girl, thinking of someone named Meanie from his past. This moment of principle nearly costs him his life, saved only when his boss K-Dog eliminates the threat. Even in a world of violence, Animal maintains a code. Love, not violence, pulls him back to New York. When Sonya reveals Gucci may have been hurt or killed in a shootout, Animal immediately decides to return, despite being a fugitive with murder charges waiting. Back home, Detective Brown remains obsessed with cold cases connected to Animal, while young criminal Ashanti refuses to believe the death rumors, maintaining fierce loyalty to his absent mentor. Animal's impending return creates foreboding throughout the narrative. As current players jockey for position, they're unaware that a ghost is coming home, and he's bringing reckoning with him. Dreams turn to nightmares when Portia's pursuit of Don B ends in horror. Their dinner at a French restaurant, where he charms her by translating the menu, ends with him drugging and sexually assaulting her while she's semi-conscious. The devastation deepens when she sees someone else enter the bathroom, suggesting Don planned to share her with others. She wakes between Don and his manager, Tone, with no memory of how she got there. When she confronts him, he laughs and has security throw her out. This violation illustrates the novel's darkest truth. Women's bodies become currency in transactions they never agreed to. Frankie's drug venture initially covers rent and debts, but success attracts predators. When Scar and two accomplices attempt to rob her apartment, she fights back with ferocity, killing Scar and critically wounding another attacker. Though she survives, she now faces murder charges and the discovery of her operation. In a cruel twist, Cuddy posts her bail, then shows her two severed fingers from one of her robbers. She now owes him both drug money and bail money, trapped in permanent servitude. Even modest ambitions suffer. Alonzo, a reformed criminal working as a supermarket assistant manager, chose honest work after witnessing prison horrors. But his past reputation as Zoe Pound follows him, and his attraction to Portia pulls him back toward the world he tried to leave. All narrative threads converge at King James's surprise birthday party. Holiday arrives with two recruits under Shy Clark's orders to execute King. Gucci Animal's ex-girlfriend attends with Tiana, crossing paths with King's crew. Alonzo spots three armed men in fatigues watching King. Gunfire erupts. Dump takes two bullets. King catches one in the shoulder as Holiday's crew opens fire. Ashanti charges in, killing two shooters, while Holiday escapes wounded. The most significant casualty isn't a gangster. Gucci lies bleeding in her green dress, an innocent bystander shot in the crossfire. The aftermath reverberates through everyone. King and his crew flee, abandoning the wounded Dump. Ashanti vows vengeance against Holiday and Shy, swearing on Animal's life to hunt them down. Sahara, questioned by police all night, begins reevaluating her lifestyle. News reaches Animal in Puerto Rico. Despite being a fugitive, he decides to return to New York. He warns Tiana to tell loved ones to stay off the streets because the sky is going to rain blood over Harlem. The shooting represents the inevitable collision of ambition and consequence. No one emerges unscathed. The marshals padlock the apartment door. The eviction they fought to prevent has arrived. Frankie faces murder charges, trapped in debt to Cuddy. Portia, traumatized by Don B's assault, finds a small Bronx apartment where she thinks often about Alonzo. Sahara moves in with family, working extra salon hours to save for her own shop, having learned she's not built for street life. In the hospital, Tiana maintains vigil at Gucci's bedside, blaming herself for the club shooting. Gucci has undergone four surgeries and fallen into a coma. Then Animal appears, confirming he's alive despite rumors. His promise to make those responsible suffer suggests the consequences witnessed so far are merely prelude. The ending refuses closure. Despite their efforts, the eviction notice has been executed. Yet Animal's return introduces a variable that may upset established order. The cycle continues. Violence begetting violence, ambition meeting consequence, survival requiring choices that trap rather than liberate. In Kwan's Harlem, there are no heroes, only survivors navigating impossible terrain. The women sought safety and found exploitation. The gangsters sought power and found enemies. The artists sought success and found servitude. Each character's arc reveals how limited options create inescapable patterns. The eviction becomes metaphor, displaced from safety with little warning and less recourse.